Hi everybody, this is Jeremy from In Bed by Nine. Hope you enjoy today's episode. If you're enjoying the episode and wondering how you can support the show, there are several ways you can go about this. First one would be to leave a rating on your preferred platform. The second one would be to leave a review. I know not all platforms have the option to leave a review. So if you can't on your platform, consider going to Podchaser and leaving a review there. Reviews help us get out there, help folks who might be on the fence or looking for something similar to things that they like. Just get the show in front of new people. And then finally, if you haven't subscribed to the show on, again, your preferred platform, please do so. And also feel free to share it with a friend. Word of mouth is such a powerful tool still in the digital age. On to today's episode, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another In Bed by Nine. It's Alex here. Jeremy, how has your week been?
I don't know. I feel like the weather is starting to become schizophrenic because it's all over the place. I had, 71 degrees or something when the weekend started, and then I walked outside to, 19 degrees in the snow. And I get it. It's Midwest. Little more than halfway through March, I kind of expected something to break my way, but you know, I guess that's what I get for hoping in the Midwest. But anyways, no, things are good. Kids are busy. It's a lot of taekwondo the next several days to see if they can get their belts. My son is already there. The one that's in taekwondo, he's already going to get his next belt. And then the two girls are almost there. So it'll they like to make things interesting. So they'll, you know, stress me out for a couple more days, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I get you. I'm with you on the whole dad things. I mean, I just got just before this meeting here, I had a whole meeting on coaching for my kids team. So let's just, you know, I won't go on the weather talk. I won't make myself feel older than I need to be, but yeah, I'm coaching. So I had a whole meeting on that, and that went from like, oh, this would be fun, to like, slightly terrified. We'll see how it goes, but it'll be a good time. But yeah, we're not here to talk about us, Jeremy. We're here to talk about other people, because that's what we do here on In Bed by Nine. We like to talk about other people's. So in that case, we have a guest with us. Who do we have?
We have Daddy Megan. Welcome on in.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, welcome in. So Daddy Megan or Daddy, whoever we want to say this. Let's start with this. Who are you? What do you do? What's going on? What's left? What's right? What's up? What's down? Tell us about yourself.
Fantastic. Well, my name is Daddy Megan. Daddy Megan. All of it is good. I am a streamer content creator here on Twitch. Mm-hmm. My main advocacy is for women and the Women Plus community in the gaming community. We focus heavily on charity tournaments, and we focus heavily on just inclusivity here in the gaming space, because gaming is for everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's good enough. All right. So you said you're on Twitch. How long have you been on Twitch?
I have been on Twitch since May of 2021, so just a few years now. And it has been a wild journey, which I think any streamer can tell you the same.
Yes. So you did the, what brought you to Twitch? I mean, what got you? So 2020 is that time of, you know, the COVID world. So what brought you to the online world here?
So I'm relatively new to gaming. So okay. During, you know, lockdown, you had to find ways to entertain yourself, hobbies, other kinds of things. So that's when I first found Twitch. I started watching streamers when the Among Us thing was huge. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of us can attest to that, especially those who didn't really have anything else to do. I was like, oh, that's really cool. But I started basically in secret. I didn't tell any of my friends. I didn't tell any of my family. I kept it kind of like solo. And I tried to find, you know, my way through meeting people who were playing a very similar game that I was when I first started out, and led to making friends that way. And slowly throughout the years, you really can't hide a big part of your life from your friends and family. And eventually, you know, everybody knows.
Yeah, I would say a very large part of your life. I mean, you're sitting at 3,000 followers just on Twitch, and then you know, a little over 1,000 followers on Twitter. So yeah, that's a pretty big part of your life, I would think. The amount of work
it is, it truly is.
So
what was the? Sorry, I interrupt.
I'm yeah, how dare that. You? Jeremy. Like always but, happens.
So what was that
ruins
first everything. Game that you started streaming.
So the very first game that I started streaming is a throwback for probably a lot of people. I started playing Alice Madness Returns that originally came out on the PS3.
Gotcha.
So I bought it for on EA. We all love EA. But I got it on EA a while ago, and it's one of the games that I really enjoy playing. The story has a really profound message, but it also has a very like heavy horror base, and I play a lot of horror games, and so I really enjoy the atmosphere, and it's like it's just a twisted take on Alice in Wonderland, and I really, really enjoy the art style and everything that goes with it.
So since you brought up horror games, I'm assuming that you play a lot of those, because I looked on there and I was, you know, as I was doing my research and digging, a lot of DBD. Is that is that the main game here?
It is definitely, I would say, over any other game, I would probably pick it 7 times out of 10.
Why?
Oh, it's truly an addiction.
Okay.
Like, I love Overwatch. I think it's fun. I love Baldur's Gate 3 like everybody else. I play also like other little games with the friends. Like if the friends want to play a game, cool, I'm down. But there's just something about DBD that locks you in. It has a full fleshed out lore that really drags people in. The characters are diverse, and working on being even more inclusive and diverse. And the community itself reflects that. It is such a tight knit community, in the sense that we all love and are possibly addicted to this game. Anybody who has over 1,000 hours, I think you're officially addicted. So
they have hotlines for addictions like that, don't they?
Yeah.
I need the number. If you have it, just drop it over.
I'm a little worried as I'm sitting here, and I don't think I've told you yet, Alex, but I got it downloaded.
Oh, don't.
Let's go. No. Let's go.
I don't know. I'm getting pushed. I've talked to a few people, and they're like,
"We've talked We've talked to quite a few people on this podcast, and they've been DVD fans. And it's like, it's been a slow entry into that field, I feel like, for you, Jeremy. I feel like we're going to be having different conversations soon.
Right. So. Dead by Daylight podcast. I like it.
It's going to, we're evolving, everybody. Yeah, we're evolving.
As we speak, no?
You have to.
So, okay. So, out of curiosity, I just want to, this is a good question. I think it'd be interesting to know. So since you kind of hid it from your family and everyone around you, I guess, being a streamer, when you told everybody that you were a streamer, how was that received? Was it an exciting thing? Was it like, oh, that's cool, thumbs up, have a good day? Like,
it was kind of a mix. So I had a few friends that I had told first, and their friends who, like me, have been on the internet forever. Early 2000s, MySpace, when we used to know how to code, a background to, you know, we're all playing the same game together.
Yes.
Literally, I feel like I used to be a hacker for MySpace.
Oh, yeah.
All that good stuff. But yeah. Showing my age here. But yeah.
You're among friends.
Good. I'm glad. But it was more or less the whole, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to be spending a lot of time here. Or they'd like, hey, like, do you want to come over? I'm like, I actually have something planned. They're like, what do you have planned? I'm like, well, about that. So it was kind of a mix between, oh, that's really cool, and also like, don't get sucked into that.
Okay.
And I think there's just a preconceived notion, I think, a lot that comes along with, one, being a streamer, two, being a content creator, as well as being a female presenting person on top of all of that. I think sometimes people that hear streamer and they think of other avenues for
like the next level type situation. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, I got what you're saying. Like, I did this, but now I got to do this to make it, you know, I got you.
When you started having these conversations with people, were you at a point where like, hey, you know, it's not me just doing this, I have a good following? Or were you like at that point where you had 1, 2, 3 people at a time? Or like,
I don't think I told anybody until post affiliation and like realizing that this might actually be something that I stick with.
Okay.
I have ADHD. I love hobbies. I have a lot of hobbies and a hobby graveyard. and it's just like, sometimes I try things out. I'm like, great, this is fantastic. And then it dwindles down. Or I get really, really into something for a year and a half and then I throw it away. But obviously, since this is about to be year three, I think we're here.
It's real. It's real.
I mean, I think when it comes to, like you said, you have like the hobby graveyard and stuff like that. When you look at streaming, it's always growing, evolving situation. Like you cannot max out a credit card on streaming. I feel like you can't just buy all the stuff and feel like, oh, you accomplished something, because there is no way to, I mean, yes, you can max out your credit card, but like, there's no point where like you just run out of stuff to do. Like you have to continue to do more because A, there's either a new game, new something to grab, or a new widget, or a new overlay, or a new emote. Like there's always something new that's flashy or different that you're gonna like get yourself tracked into. So like I'm with you on the ADD, like HMI, like it's like a, I don't know, it's a good focus part. For me, it makes sense. Yeah,
it keeps things interesting, keeps you engaged, not only with yourself, your layout, but also your audience.
Yeah.
It gives you that creativity to still be yourself and change things around. And I think it's super important to realize like you don't need like the fanciest stuff to be a good streamer. You don't need the best mic or the best camera. You just need a good personality, a good heart, and something worth sharing.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm still working on the personality part.
I think you got that down. You're doing great.
You don't know Jeremy that well, do you?
This is about as exciting as it gets. No, I'm just...
I mean, the vanilla is out in the background as background. There, you can tell.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Awkward moment hit right there, Jeremy. All right. So moving on from that conversation, you brought up conversations on you're new to gaming.
Yes.
Do you never touched a game prior to like deciding you're going to stream? Like you went from like, I'm going to be a streamer, I'm going to play games. Like it was like a full, like the whole can was open at one moment situation.
So the way that gaming was introduced to me was basically Among Us. I had this old rickety laptop that I rigged up to play this game, because this laptop was like from my college days, right?
Okay.
It's beaten and abused. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, like I'm watching all these other streamers. They're having so much fun. I'm watching YouTube content on it. And I found friends who had friends who would make a lobby, and we would have such a good time. And I was like, okay, like this is super fun. Before then, the most I had played was way too many hours of the Sims games.
Okay, well, it's still, yeah, that's still gaming.
But like it wasn't like a committed gaming. It was like a, oh, I'm gonna play for 6 hours or like 12 hours straight and then not touch it for a year. It wasn't like a consistent, it wasn't part of my life.
I got you. I just like to see, like, when you say, like, I'm not a gamer, like, what is the definition of a gamer in your mind? Like, you're so, that makes sense. So, you're like saying somebody's more committed to gaming, you're playing it more than just on occasion for a couple hours here or there. You're like, at least once a week, twice a week, actually committed to playing.
Absolutely.
A game. Okay. All right. Good. I'd like to know the terminology a little bit here. Good. So you've now full tilt. How many times do you stream and or game during the week?
So I do. I work full time. I am a full time person in the corporate world, as many of us are. So I probably stream 3 to 4 times a week, usually on the three.
Biscuits and gravy. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So that includes, you know, I usually do about a 3.5 hour stream. That way because I come home, I usually eat a little food. Decompress from whatever work was through that the day, start streaming around 9 or 10 p.m. Eastern Standard, and then get off around 1:30 a.m. and get ready to get up at 8 a.m.
Hats off to you.
She's like she's like your worst enemy, man.
I know. I like to
sleep. You're in bed by 8 o'clock.
That was me 4 years ago. Now I did not happening. Hit the professional, I'm the old fart wall, and I just fell over it.
Listen,
and I'm sleeping.
I turned 30 this year, and I'm feeling it.
Get out of here. Mm-hmm. It's coming.
This is the world's smallest violin. I'm not sure if anyone hears it, but it's playing. So. Yeah, there we go.
Yes, there we go.
She even has a better violin sound.
She's like, I'm turning 30 this year. I'm old.
I don't think I'm old. I think I'm thriving. But
yeah, no, I'm just messing with you. Like, that's the way you said it.
I do feel it. I do feel the age coming on, especially because a lot of people who I interact with on the internet are young.
Yeah.
And they're like then, early 20s. I'm like, oh, that was a time.
Yeah. Like, tears was like, hey, let's play games. I'm like, what time? Like, let's get on and play at like 11. I was like, I'm going to bed.
I gotta go. You
better sleep for like 4 hours. Yeah, yeah. I was just gonna say.
They make fun of me, but it's like, come on, you guys. You gotta realize there's a lot of age behind here. We gotta keep moving. Start to come up very quick. Anyways, all right. So looking over your stuff, you mentioned charity streams and stuff like that in nature, and you have like a kind of a focus behind what you're doing. I mean, with the name Daddy Megan, let's ask that question. How did that come about?
That is another great question. One, I wanted it to be a conversation starter. Okay. Typically, you don't hear the word daddy and then a feminine presenting name or a name that you associate with a woman.
Okay.
And Pedro Pascal said it best. Daddy is a state of mind. Daddy is the way that you present yourself. And I wanted that to be exactly. Yeah. It is, you have to have a vibe. And that is one of my vibes. Not only am I daddy in the sense of I want this community to be something that they can rely on. And, you know, they know it's going to be a strong foundation. Typically that, you know, masculine energy of, you know, we're here to help you, protect you, keep a safe space for you. But also, daddy is also like a sense of not taking shit or not taking what people, you know, throw at you. And so I wanted there to be that kind of mentality there. And so it's almost like a juxtaposition to get like a conversation started. And that way, usually it breaks the ice because sometimes you're like, I don't know what to call you. I'm like, call me whatever you like. Both are good. And that kind of gives them an out to call them like whatever's comfortable for them. But also, it's all good.
Gotcha. I like it. I feel like I could walk up, get the arm put around me like daddy. Or
exactly.
If I look or say something stupid, I get punched. So there's options. I like it.
You get the dad look where you're like,
yeah, really? Finish your homework. I like it.
Dude, really? Yeah. All right. Feeling it. Feeling the vibes. I mean, you mentioned the question of like a safe space. Like, have you had situations where you had to bring out the fists and become
always,
daddy?
Always. My community and the people who are in it are very important to me. And cultivating a community where people feel included and welcomed. Like they're always welcome in the stream. They're never a burden. And I want that to be like a place to come to. And, you know, sometimes you have people who don't love that vibe or people who want
there's bottom line. Yeah.
And you just, my advice to anybody starting out is just don't let it get your mind. Ban them and go.
Okay.
Move on next.
Like drop it. The hammer. Like it. Simple.
Drop the hammer and go.
All right. Fine. All right. So, looking through stuff, your charities, you mentioned a little bit. Let's talk about those. There's quite a bit on this list I see on your stream. I don't know if that's full entire list or if you updated it or added to it. And
that is total. The current list and the current total.
Okay. On there, though, you've raised what, 12?
Over 3,000.
It's a lot of money.
It is. And I'm grateful every day, and like every charity stream I do keeps me coming back to streaming.
That's nice. So you says it's got Trans Empowerment, Julian Center for Battered Women, the Trevor Project, the Women in Gaming Network, Breast Cancer Foundation Research, Hope for the Day, the Starlight Foundation, and National Network for Abortion Funds. Now going through that list, that's a lot of different charities through the time. Was there, like, what made you, like, I guess I'm not going to say go each one and like, why did you pick these ones?
Yeah.
But when you're looking at your support and your charities, like, is there something you're looking for in the long run? Is there a reason why you've done more than just one? Like, you're not like committed to one over another type thing.
So obviously, you know, a lot of these are just marginalized communities, people who might not get the same funding as other well-known places do. So like, for example, the very first big one that I did, the very first one that hit over $1,000 was the Julian Center for Battered Women. Mm-hmm. It is actually a local women's shelter here where I am located. And I wanted to first give back to my personal community, and then realized once it was a success that maybe I can do more, and maybe we can actually expand to others, other communities. But a lot of these go along with, you know, Pride Month, making sure that, you know, the Trevor Project is such a fantastic project. It always has been for years and years, and it has so much support behind it. And a lot of my community falls into the LGBTQIA2S+ community. And so we want to make sure we're giving back, and eventually maybe we'll do something to where my big dream for charity is to eventually have a like Women Wednesday initiative where we raise money for that. And then that is delegated to certain charities or a charity of our choice. And it can be like a community pick. So my big thing is to eventually be able to do something similar to that.
Okay. Awesome. And you mentioned Women Wednesdays. I've heard it before in here. What's that?
So Women Wednesday started out as just something fun that I thought would be just like a little quirky thing to like, one, get attention. Like, what is Women Wednesday? Why is that a thing? Mm-hmm. And two, on Women Wednesday, I only have women or female presenting people play games with me. We have open conversations, or we're just showing you that, you know, the girlies can game. We're having a good time. You don't need to be, you know, fearful of comms on games. You don't need to be, you know, we're just having a good time and showcasing that, like, hey, we game. We're good. This is such a fun time. And so it really gets just people talking about, well, like, what does that mean? And that branched out for us to move forward to our first Women Wednesday DVD charity tournament. Mm-hmm. And it, beyond my wildest dreams, succeeded. We've done three. And it's been like the highlight of my life, having to have met like so many feminine presenting streamers and content creators who now are some of my really close friends or people in the community who I love seeing around and are always supportive of getting their communities involved in these charity streams that I believe so much in.
Good. Yeah, it's interesting because I mean, I wanted to go with that, but like you brought the like charity streams, especially finding ones into your local region and focusing on them. We had our last guest was on here was really focused on actually a diaper bank, and I thought that was an interesting way to think about that. And just, you don't realize, like, a lot of times when people think about charities and charity funds, they always think about like the big names, like, you know, let's get the big ones and do all this mm-hmm. stuff. Like, you really don't need to go massive or try to do something like this, support, you know, like St. Jude's or like the different exactly. big ones. You can really think about, hey, what are some things in my local area that I may be able to dramatically support that, like I said, doesn't get much attention because it's small.
Exactly. I think it's important to not only do your research on charities, because, you know, not every charity is a charity worthwhile. Mm-hmm. We learn more and more about charity events or charities that aren't as kosher as we thought that they were. So it's really important to do your research. As a streamer, you want to make sure that you are doing your due diligence and doing some, you know, looking up some information. It's your job to be well informed about what you're talking about. I think that's super important too, is being well informed as somebody who is presenting something and asking people to put their hard-earned money towards.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to know a little bit about it.
Yeah.
100%. Because you, they're not going to have that knowledge.
They're not.
They're not going to have that time. No. They're there to see you and support a cause, but they're trusting you as a leader of that community to have done that work for them. So I don't think you can overstate what you just said.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and they trust you, and that's why they're there. So it makes sense. And you don't want to be like, hey, this is what I'm doing, and find out like, eh, that wasn't that right.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
That one happened, and I'm sorry, but we're going to move on.
How much of the $1,000 we raised actually went to, well, about 90% of it went to administrative costs.
Yeah, so. It's like, well, that's only like $100 then that went to the actual donations. Yeah.
Is there any, okay, not to call out anybody in particular, philanthropist, because you have, from what I could tell, massive experience in this field. Has there any that you've come across or been recommended to? You're like, no. Or so, it hasn't happened just yet.
It hasn't necessarily. So, I mean, I know that we all used to, or not all, but there was a charity platform prior to people really using Tiltify.
Mm-hmm.
That has since basically been disbanded. They went to show that these charities actually like pay them to support them. And if you're raising money for charity, I'd really like it if you sent all the money that people were raising to charity. That'd be great.
What a concept.
It's a wild notion, right?
That's just crazy.
But so, and I had previously worked with them, so it made me really upset. And I, you know, they wanted me to be part of their team, and I'm glad I never actually signed a contract or anything, because I didn't want to be associated after that. And that, you know, things coming to light definitely give you perspective.
Okay. So you used them before and they liked what you were doing. You're like, wait a second, I learned something. And I'm like, this was not the best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There was a new moment. Got it. All right. So you now use Tiltify. That's the main better. But so they function primarily like, hey, we're just a platform for you to be able to
just collect a platform. Funds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm new to this. Teach me.
Yeah. You got this. But people essentially like the website and stuff gets backing from, you know, donors who want to support Tiltify, and then Tiltify purely is just a housing for said funds, and they actually have like a list of them. So if you know are looking for a certain thing, they actually already have the place that you're looking for sometimes there, so you know that they are used to working with them. A lot of times I will actually reach out to the charity themselves and let them know, hey, I would like to raise money for you. What do you want people to know about it? Do you have a logo I can use? And that stuff. And then I put it all through Tiltify. And that's typically how they prefer it too.
Yeah.
This is kind of a question. Have you had charities, because you said you reach out, ask them if they want you. Have you had charities say like, no, out of curiosity?
No.
Okay. I have to ask because I know I mean, it would be kind of bad business, but I wouldn't
it's put a fair it past question.
Somebody in this it day and age. Question. So
yeah, I mean there might be something that they don't jive with you. Just for example, they don't jive with what you're doing or what your stance is, and they're like, no, we're good.
I think it's important to also have them do their research on you. Like if they want you to represent them.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, like, kind of like if they looked at you, because like I could see somebody taking a big nose approach, like, oh, you're not big enough.
I completely understand that.
Represent that. So
you still got enough followers. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But don't want that. It's real. That's a real thing that people deal with.
Oh, yeah. I know. I know all too well. Okay. So good. So. Talked a lot about charities. We talked about that. You mentioned a lot of like just drives and initiatives. Is there reasoning? I guess maybe it's very personal, but is there a reason for what you're driving for? And was that something you were thinking about when you started streaming, or is it something that's kind of evolved as you were streaming that you wanted to now take this platform and do something?
That is such a great question. To answer the latter, it was something that evolved. I never in my wildest dreams had ever thought that I would be someone to not only have raised $12,000. That's a large amount of money.
That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money. I never would have thought that, one, I would have had a community of people who not only trusted and supported me, but also pushed me to continue to do this. Mm-hmm. There was a moment where I took a long hiatus to really assess, you know, my mental health, where I was. I was transitioning jobs. My now fiance was moving in at the time, and really trying to get like my life together and get in a good solid place. I have never had so many comforting messages or people who were wishing me well, but also said they were going to miss the charity tournaments and had told me what Women Wednesday had meant to them. And I didn't realize the impact until then, that it actually meant something. And it's probably one of the reasons why I came back and one of the reasons that I want to continue. And I have a lot of things in the works that are to come out later.
Ooh, not going to share it here. Got it.
Feel obviously. It. I mean, more tournaments.
It's coming out later.
More
don't ask me.
More charity. We're getting just, it's everything that's flushed out, and I don't want to you gotcha. Know count the kitchens. Wow, the chickens before they hatch.
Wait,
before everything.
Count the kitchens before was like. How would you finish that? I'm kind of curious.
To count the kitchens before they're tiled.
Yeah, well, that's a okay. good save. I'll give that to you.
Okay,
that's a pass.
You saved it. You saved that. That was good. It was a mess, and I liked the save. That was great.
Listen, I'm nothing if not.
She's a content creator. Damn it! She knows what she's doing.
You put me on the spot, and this is what happens. All right, I like this. See, it was a test. See, she handled it. All that's good.
I'm here to pass them.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, skills. Well. What was I'm still in the kitchen conversation. I'm still trying to figure out where to go now. You said that. I want to know where to take that. It was perfect. Biscuits, where am I going to take this now? So you honestly growing and evolving as you that's a wonderful story to point out that you didn't know. You started streaming going into this going, you know, I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to play games and just enjoy life. And then it's evolved to the fact of like, hey, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden now you're, you know, raising tons of funds, supporting multiple communities, creating an inclusive environment 3 years later.
Yeah.
That's insane to think about, you know?
I often can't think about it because like putting it into actual perspective is insane to me because I would never... ever have assumed that that would be my platform or, you know, that I would have a platform to have a voice.
Yeah. Before this all, were you a shy person or a platform person type thing?
I would say like, but I love, like I'm an introvert through and through. Like I love having time to myself. I really recharge, you know, in my own space. But I am a licensed hairstylist of 10 years. You really can't be shy doing that.
Oh, no, no.
You got to be able to talk to everybody, every single person that comes into your chair. So I think I've always had the innate ability to have conversations, which I think are super important to not only the human experience and getting to know other people who are like you and not like you, but to find common ground.
That's fair enough. And that's definitely having that skill really brings into what you need for streaming because you have a plethora of people flying through your chat and those conversations change 14 to 15 different ways.
Oh, all the time.
Without you even like paying too much attention.
Because you're also focusing on the game and then what's going on in chat.
Yes.
Oh, I think that's the perfect pivot point to switch to community. I was going to, there's a lot of people that, you know, they get that, they start streaming, they think, oh, like you said, they get the latest, greatest, they're playing a popular, oh, people are just going to come in and fill up my chat, and it doesn't happen. How was your community in the beginning? What are some experiences you had? How did you grow it? How did it evolve?
Well, so... I mean, just like everybody else, started streaming to zero viewers. I would say the thing that sets people apart at that stage is talking. As if people are there, open conversations. Viewers don't want to come into someone who is just playing the game without an interaction. They don't, you know, they just want to have someone who is engaging. And unless you're someone who's like Shroud or people who thrive on being the best at their game and people are there to actually watch the gameplay, more than likely people come onto Twitch because they want a sense of community. They want to find people who are not only like them, but like-minded and enjoying the same games that they want to watch or enjoying the personality. And if you're not showing off the best of who you are to the best of your ability at that moment, you're not going to gain the traction. And it wasn't until I actually started seeking a community that, like, in having genuine friendships to people in the, like, on the Twitch community, that, you know, people were like eventually coming in, and then you get affiliated, and then you meet other people and you start playing games with them, and both communities are shared because you're playing games and you're like-minded. And they're like, well, if they're having fun together, I'll go over to the other side of the stream. And then eventually, if you are, you know, staying true to yourself and you, you know, have something to say, or you're playing games and people are really enjoying it, people will come and you'll find your right people. And it just, it takes time and it takes dedication and patience. It takes a lot of patience, and you can't just want it and expect it to happen without putting in work.
Mm-hmm. I like how you mentioned, I like the sharing communities, because, yeah, there's a lot of overlap on there. So who are some of the, I know, because Dead by Daylight, there's lots of players. Hey, it's
awesome so game.
So what are some of the people that you've played with, or, you know, you've been in their community, or their communities checked you out? Maybe you were raided, whatever the case is.
I mean, I have a lot of friends and people who are people who I would send my community to, from various sizes, from people who are partners to people who still average 6-7 people. I think the quality and the content of what your message is more important than your view count. And I think sharing communities, that way people can find other people like that. Some of the streamers that I really enjoy, the first person who introduced me to all of my friends and community, his name is Kai Parasite. He is a retro Mario gamer and plays Overwatch, but is somebody who is just an overall good person and took me in and said, here are all of my friends and here's how we can help. I know that you're new to streaming. We've been doing this for 5 years. If you have questions, ask. And was a super open place. And through him, I actually met my fiance. So nice. Super excited that way. But some other people who really inspire me, her name is Lexi. She is a Baldur's Gate 3 and Dead by Daylight player. She does a lot of good work for bringing representation to being chronically ill online. So the disabled community, people who are chronically ill, brings a lot of awareness there. She's also an author, which is really fantastic. She's a partner. She's phenomenal. I also, like, I really love just the wide variety of people in the communities that you can just kind of reach out to. There are some streamers that I just hang out and chat. I enjoy them as a chatter. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing to do with, oh, like, people will talk about networking. Just enjoy the stream. Enjoy being in the presence. It's not about networking. It's about having a good time on Twitch. And I feel like once you have, like, a transactional friendship, that's when something seems a little off.
Yeah. I think you mentioned, like, the, like, dropping the term networking. I think if you're passively networking, if you're enjoying it, and friends, like, you're building the connections, you're still doing the connection, but you're actually, like, enjoying the process. It's not like, oh, yikes, I have to message this person's stream, I gotta be in 14 streams tonight so people can see me, you know.
And that's just, it's not just feasible. Mm-hmm. It's not sustainable. It's like, they're like, it's also the same type of people who, like, will read you every single day just so that maybe you one day will go and raid them, versus the mentality of, I really enjoy this streamer, I want to share my community with them because I love them, I know you will. It's that transactional friendship, like a tit for tat, where there's really, like, a disconnect of, like, people. Twitch, if nothing else, is a platform for people to build a community. And a community needs to have more than just wanting to grow and wanting more. There needs to be substance to it. There needs to be a message or a vibe behind it. And I think, you know, networking comes, and you can also plan collabs and plan networking. But I think there also needs to be people that you genuinely enjoy watching on Twitch.
I think all that, if you do it under the, if it's all within like the infrastructure of just enjoying, like you said, people and just going there for friends, all the rest really does take care of itself.
It does.
So.
Wait, just, I'm just really confused. You're trying to say have a good time?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's being clearly stated, that you're just saying have a good time and things should follow, right?
And like, even if they don't.
No, I mean,
this is important.
I'm being sarcastic in the whole statement.
Okay.
Like, more along the lines of like strictly like, it's like, come on. Like, no, I'm with you on that. I fully agree that it's more along the lines like, really, you know, if you started streaming during the time of COVID, you know, the follow for follow groups, you know, the sub for sub groups, you know, hey, let's just, you know, do all this stuff. And, you know, we, if you're still streaming now, you have definitely either moved out of that, hopefully, but you realize that that does not create a community. Like, it worked only for maybe a year, and then you're like, okay, that's all hollow.
I never loved that. I remember there was back like for MySpace, like the P4P.
Yeah.
Like, that was never who I was. And, you know, I feel like it's just, it's not an actual avenue for growth and momentum, or like just a heartfelt community that is worth something other than, you know, numbers.
Yes.
That's what I was saying. It's not even a community, really. It's just a, like you said, it's just a button, group of buttons, follow, 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 follow.
Yep.
Tap, tap, tap. So.
Well, it's wonderful. And then I appreciate that. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, this has been a wonderful conversation. And we're kind of getting closer towards our end here. And I want to get through some news and maybe bring you back in. But before I let you go to that point, you mentioned that you are on Twitch and then you kind of have a community growth. Do you utilize any other platforms to help connect to other communities or network out a little bit to see if other people will come find your stuff? Or are you primarily just focused on the Twitch avenue?
Currently, I'm on Twitch. Back in the day and early COVID days, I was on TikTok a lot. And if you go far enough back, there's plenty of cringe for anybody to look at.
Oh, I got to go back now. I was looking, I couldn't find it much.
Oh, it's 2020. 2020 was a year, and I block it out from my mind, but people sometimes send me my own TikToks to humble me, and I remember.
I'm horribly disappointed we didn't find this. We could talk about this more.
Oh, no, we're good. It's
sounds
great.
Like a part two we're needs good. To be done. Yes.
But
here we hang on after, okay.
But I do make YouTube content as well.
Right.
Most of the general platforms, like I've been on Twitter for like longer than it's probably been allowed. And you know, I'm really active in Discord as well. So okay. You know, just the general places as well.
Just
but I
general places, yeah. Just kind of curious. Like, oh my goodness, like I did some digging, but I didn't like go everywhere. So all right, wonderful. Well, I want to get into some news, so don't run away. So I'm going to go over some newscasts. There's the people here, but don't leave us. So I want to get through the 4 hours and it runs up because there's some news
I
definitely want to talk about. And I got a question for you before you leave.
Okay.
All right. So news-wise, Jeremy, you ready? Are you holding on?
I'm ready. Now I am. Go ahead.
Okay, so Twitch is now killing two more things off its platform. Okay, we talked about the watch parties last time. That will officially be shut down on April 2nd. And that's concerning for many reasons. I'm gonna toss this out here personally. That makes me worried about the Prime subs too. There's hints and rumbling in the Twitterverse that Prime subs may start to be on the chopping block by the end of before fourth quarter.
Gonna have to call Danny up and talk to him. CEO talk and see if we can't run that by him.
But the question comes up too, as well. I'm gonna throw this out there. It's just maybe a possibility. Maybe Amazon might be letting go of Twitch.
Oh boy, I am not smart enough to answer this question. So
I'm throwing it out there for the community to think about. Maybe if you want to, have a conversation on Twitter one day, I would love to hear it.
Pull that. Yeah, we'll pull that.
It's a weird moment. I had a moment. I was reading through the comments. This kind of stinks. They're letting go the watch parties, letting go on Prime Video on streaming. And maybe we'll have something new in the future here. The reaction button also, if you haven't used React in your streams, I'm sorry, I'm one of the people that used to use React all the time. If you don't know what React is, when you were watching a streamer, at the very bottom is a little React button. You could do that and give like a thumbs up, smile, oh no. And it gave them like data going forward. So it was kind of cool to see. Unless you get a lot of people using it normally, it wasn't there. But Twitch has noticed that no one really presses the button, so they're kind of going to let that depreciate and dissipate. So that's kind of interesting. So those are two new things to add to the last of stream conversation here for Twitch. Comically, I want to say this one. You know how Twitch got rid of its Korea streamers and shut down Twitch Korea? Before they shut down, they sent H.A. Chubby, or Cubby, Chubby, I'll say Chubby, a box, a gift box for 2022 calendars for this year. They sent a streamer a box of 2022 calendars for 2024. And a hat.
Maybe to go back and remember the good times.
We're shutting you down. Here you go. Yeah. No, that was a stomp in the gut. Yeah, that's fun. So I'll hold that conversation for a second here. This is also interesting for Twitch. TF1, which is a platform for France, like Dancing for the Stars, like ABC would be here in the US type thing. TF1 is working on creating like an audience on the Twitch platform and are now reaching out to streamers to help grow their Twitch channel, because they're looking to utilize Twitch as a major form of streaming over that of their own devices. So if you speak French and you want to help the French make streaming happen, TF1's your friend. I try to look at more information, but it's in France. I don't speak French, so sorry.
That's called Google Translate.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. LiveSpace is now growing, looking at making some on-stream interactions like trivia cards and overlay. So another streaming platform is trying to make its way into the process. Zego Cloud is announced that it's achieving 90% success rate in delivering millisecond live video streamings. So that'd be something to look forward to in the future. Go through a lot of things here, make sure there's no thing down here I want to go through. And different creator news that all right, the other thing I want to point out is the big thing that's on the chopping block, Twitch, or not Twitch, TikTok. I apologize, made that dramatic statement and I realized I said the wrong word.
I was confused, so I was just gonna go with wherever you took it, so.
Yes, the U.S. House passed billing to require ByteDance to divest from Chinese platforms, which is now making TikTok potentially banned here in the United States. This is going to Senate in the next week or so, which will definitely make the process slow because, that's how we work here in the U.S. We'll see what ends up happening. But, U.S. is not the only one to ban TikTok. I know other countries have done so in the past. So it'll be interesting what plans out with that whole shenanigans. I mean, like I say, this, my wife works for a company that does involving government interactions. And her rules are pretty much simple enough. If it's a company phone, she can't have TikTok on it. And she's like, that makes sense to me. So I'm in the boat of, if they want to know my info, they can look at me staring at pictures of dogs and cats and babies and now the weird stuff that's on TikTok, which makes no sense anymore.
Or just have him send it to you and you'll know what he's looking at.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. All right. Awkward silence is now over. So, Daddy.
I'm still here.
Good. We want to say thank you very much for hanging out with us. We do appreciate you chilling, enjoying the news with us, talking to us, and giving us a ton of information on really philanthropy on Twitch and like the avenue to go through in that and just creating an environment that is inclusive, supportive, and growing. So thank you for doing that for us.
thank you guys so much for having me. I really enjoyed having an open-ended discussion, and you know, I don't know much, but I'm happy to share whatever knowledge that I do have.
Well, you proved that you know a ton. You just don't, you know. You're a closet gamer that came out and started gaming, and now all of a sudden, like, you're like, I don't know anything. Like, oh, hello. You know a lot. $12,000 raised. Get out of here with your don't know anything. So, where's that daddy vibe now? Come on.
Listen, you gotta act like you know everything all the time.
You gotta act like you know everything all the time. There's nothing wrong.
I don't
wrong.
Know anything. And I think it's important to be like, hey, I know enough, but I don't know everything.
You say you know it, you go grab a Google phone or phone and Google it real quick and come back with the answer. That's what you do.
That's what I do a lot of times.
Or the other piece of dad thing I'll help you with, there's nothing wrong with saying, yes, dear, if you don't know. That
yes.
way it
gets yeah. yes.
No, that
yes.
sounds right. Yeah, that's great.
That sounds great. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Sounds good.
Or awkwardly stare off in the distance and go, I'm thinking. All right. Awkward moments over. But we do appreciate you hanging out. I guess before we let you go and I go through the whole like end spiel conversation, what is that little bit of information, that little nugget of knowledge you want to leave our listeners with?
Surround yourself with the people who don't drain your energy at the end of the day. You are important and worth the time it takes to create a space that is a reflection of you and is something that you are proud of. The view count is not important. The numbers are not important. The genuine connections that you make with people are important, and you're worth it to have those.
I like it.
And that note, Jeremy, we got to separate. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, this will be the last episode.
Strike that.
It'll be in bed by 9 with Jeremy and Daddy Megan going forward. So, I was just going to say, we'd like to thank our guest, Diabolic Tutor.
Thanks, guys.
I got it there first. There you go. Well, thank you again. So, if you enjoy what you're listening to and the awkward moments we've all had tonight, please go ahead and give us a like, a star, a follow, a thumbs up, or a comment below. Also, you know, our conversations on Twitter, we're trying to, you know, interact on there a little bit more. So if you want to talk about anything we talked about here, throw it on the Twitter space, because that's where we kind of hang out anyways. And we'll be happy to chat with you there, because I'm, you know, always scouring through, and summer's coming pretty soon. I got nothing else to do. So, yes, I'll be there hanging out with you if you want to say anything. Also, if you are on your platform, Spotify, whatever, give us those stars and stuff. We're trying to get a little bit out there, a little bit farther, and pass us along to your friends so they can hear us as well. Hopefully it's, and maybe your enemies, if you want to give them that too, that'd be great. All right, Jeremy, anything else that I forgot? Oh, merch. I almost forgot that we have merch. Bye. Check it out. We do have a lot of merch out there for you. Our Elder Creator outfits, everything out there. Go check them out. Tell me what you think. I'm always open to making new designs. So if you think of something or something that is missing, please tell us as well. Anything else, Jeremy, before I run out of breath?
Just got to compliment you on the give a gift to your friends, punish your enemies by sharing our podcast. I really like that. That was good.
Like that? I've been thinking about things, Jeremy. Sometimes it comes to my mind that way. All right. Anything else, Jeremy, for the betterment of the group? All right. Well, again, thank you very much, Daddy Megan, for hanging out with us. And as always, potatoes.